Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
Ew.
It's been a bit, but we're back.
Out of hibernation.
Yeah. I think we both left off on a little bit of a sour note as far as our teams go, but it's time to talk about that a little bit. Time to talk about what the future might hold and what we think is going to happen moving forward with both teams. There's a lot to unpack. I mean, I know that when we take a couple of weeks or a couple of months off, there's always a ton of things going on, but this year feels like more. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it feels like with the additions and subtractions to both teams, like there's just so much to talk about.
Definitely. I mean, I think last year we covered July as it happened, so it was, you know, more digestible, but here we are in August. There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I feel weird, like, asking, what have you been doing all summer? Because it's always, like, kind of summer there compared to here. But, like, what's new? Like, what's been going on?
Well, humidity's new over here, and it sucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's awful. It's been so hot.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we usually, like, yeah, we're always, like, warm weather or whatever. But usually we get, like, a nice couple months of, like, high 70s. And, like, now we just blew right into low 90s.
Oof.
And I know it's hotter everywhere else, but I live where I live for the weather, and it's changing. So that's a bummer. Went out to East Coast, couldn't see you, thanks to JetBlue. lost a day on the trip, but was able to attend a good buddy's wedding. Got a nice Maine lobster roll guy.
Wow.
Yeah. We went to a restaurant and blew the people's mind by ordering espresso martinis with reposado tequila. So maybe my new life is just going to New England bars and telling new drinks. It's not like bar rescue, but it's like bar, here's a floaty.
Yeah. Yeah.
bar swimming lessons.
Man, you're so Hollywood now, dude. You just come out here and
thanks, man.
You're just so Hollywood.
I'm just as Hollywood as everyone else these days as we're all on strike.
That's true. Yeah, how's that going out there? Like, I know it's obviously not going well because it hasn't even come close to an end yet, but
they finally got back to the negotiation table on Friday to it was like whenever absolutely nothing happened. No breakthroughs. That's how they phrase it. No breakthroughs. So,
but at least it's a
start. I guess
start,
meeting's
right?
A good thing. But yeah, exactly. I guess I don't know. It really feels like we're being run by like wicked monopoly evil people. It's like comical how evil these rich assholes in charge of the studios are, and how unrealistic and far away they are. They think they can just squeeze us out until we lose our homes.
Yeah, those comments are absolutely insane.
They're just, it's like comically evil and bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's goofy. We need to, you know, just kind of like getting, you know, people who are having strokes while they're representing the country out of the Congress. It's just like, let's flush these old people out. They got millions that they can't spend, especially with how much life they have left.
Yeah.
New reality show, billionaires trying to spend it all. I should trademark that. No, but commercials are alive and flowing. The good news is that there's amazing production companies like A24, and you and I both love A24
yes.
films. A24 has adhered to every demand of SAG-AFTRA's, their strike, like what they're striking for. So they're making movies again. Everyone is allowed to make A24 movies again. A24 is probably a dime compared to a $100 bill that it would be like your Disney's and such. And they can afford to give these people what they deserve to earn. Why can't the big dogs? Greed. Gross. But commercials are alive and well. I got to do a commercial with none other than recent $295 million contract signing Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers a couple days before he signed that.
How'd that go?
He was awesome, man. I was a big fan. I was like, dude, best of luck this year. And he was like, you too.
You're like, yeah, man, we are not the same.
Thanks, man. I'll need it more than you, I think. But he was awesome. I got to technically do a stunt. Like, I'm in a Dr. Squatch sketch. And I got to technically kind of do a stunt where I try to tackle him and he throws me to the ground. And we did it like three times. And like on the third one, he's like, I kind of threw you there. You good? And I was like, yeah, man, honestly, it's an honor.
I can't wait.
That was awesome.
That.
Shout out Justin Herbert. We're Herbert heads on balcony chatter now. He was a great dude, stand up guy, and I'm excited for those spots to drop. We can be sharing them on the old IG. Baby,
that's awesome.
I think that's where they're gonna live. I don't think it's TV, but who knows? Maybe we'll be on a television near you.
Hey, I hope so. Yeah. I've been seeing Dr. Squatch stuff everywhere, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, also, and I'm not getting paid any more than just that day, but I got some products at the end.
Yeah.
It's top-notch stuff.
Have you ever used it before?
It's like, no.
Dude, no. I wish
I'm only using
they
it
were.
Because they gave me it.
Yeah, yeah. I wish they were a sponsor on this podcast because I love the products, too. I've used them in the past, and they are. They're great.
Hey, I know who to talk to now.
Okay.
Maybe if it's just like, can we get deodorant once a month and we'll talk about you all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll figure it out, dude. We're getting Squatch sponsored. Let's do it.
Yes, let's go.
Oh, man. But yeah, I was lucky enough to be asked to be in that because a couple of my buddies were directing. They did 10 sketches in a single day.
Wow.
With Justin Herbert. One of the most ambitious things I've heard of, and they pulled it off.
That's you know that they're good at scheduling at that point. Cram everything in, like get it done properly, and that's impressive.
Or just overly ambitious and impressively talented. I don't know. You got to kind of plan it, but you can't plan film sets. You know, things just go wrong, and you can't capture stuff. So
yeah,
I was happy with them, proud of them, and they had to turn them in like last week too. So
that's quick
turnaround.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I know that we're going to talk sports, obviously, but I do want to ask you one other thing because it's been a minute. Have you seen Barbenheimer yet? Have you seen either?
I haven't done either yet, man. It's been a work issue, and it's also a ticket issue out here. I mean, it's really, you know, you want the real IMAX. You had to drive
an hour
over an hour away from your house.
Yeah.
You know, here it's like the first three rows are open for any time, but like, you're looking at like a week out at 10 a.m. to see Oppenheimer. Gonna try for this week, but
I gotta say it is very worth it.
Wouldn't me and the lady were kicking around the idea of going to Barbie tonight, but we're not married to that.
I mean, would recommend both movies. Both of them are great.
I
in
wanted
their own
to do
ways.
It all in one day. It's just with my schedule, I don't know if it's gonna be able to pull it off.
Yeah, if you do, I would recommend seeing Oppenheimer first.
Okay.
Or second, I guess. I don't really know. I mean, if it was me having seen both movies now, I would go see Oppenheimer
first.
It's
just kind of a matter of, like, if I can't get an Oppenheimer ticket, but I have time to see Barbie, I'm not going to wait.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll take the opportunity. But, yeah. But in terms, are you saying that in terms of quality of movie?
No, I'm saying that in terms of, like how the movie makes you feel afterwards.
Oh, yes. Like, no, I heard. If you can do it all in one day, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need that uplift.
Right.
After a heavy
movie.
The daunting thought process of we created a bomb that could kill our soul.
Exactly. But either way, both movies are great. So if anyone hasn't seen them, highly recommend both. They were awesome in their own separate ways, obviously. But like, if you take them for what they are for each, they're both amazing.
Yeah,
Oppenheimer is like a masterpiece, though. It was so great, and being able to see it in that 70mm IMAX was definitely worth the drive.
Nolan's best, do you think?
It's hard to say. I mean, he's made so many good movies, but
yeah,
it's just also everyone who's ever been in a movie is in Oppenheimer. Just for the record, like, yeah, I was like, oh, there's that guy, and then there's that person, and then there, like, throughout the entire movie, I was like, there cannot be
including
another
Josh Peck.
Yeah. Including
right
Josh Peck. Yep.
Wow.
Great movie, though, for sure. So I know that you'll love it when you go see it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I do feel behind. But nothing's been really spoiled. So
good.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's get into a couple things here. Like I said at the beginning of this, we've had some additions. We've had some subtractions. Obviously, we have a major retirement that has happened recently as well. But I want to, you know, I know that it's going to be a tough one to talk about because we've been kind of dreading this day for a long time. But we kind of have to talk about it. It's the first thing. So I guess we'll start with it here and I'll let you kind of air out your thoughts and your sadness and everything. And I just want you to be able to give a proper goodbye and a proper farewell to your favorite arguably, I think you've said it on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Your favorite Hands player. Down.
Not arguably. Favorite athlete of all time.
Yeah. So then why don't you
any sport, anything on and off the ice, stand up guy, stuck with us for 20 years.
You're talking about Bert. I thought you were going to talk about Grant Williams. I thought you were going to be this upset about Grant Williams being gone. Sorry. All right, we'll get into him as well, but I guess let's start with whatever you were thinking.
Oh, man. Fuck you, dude. That was... All right. Touche. Color me impressed.
No, Bergeron, he's great, too. So let's talk about
Bergeron.
We'll get
into Bergeron later then, whatever. Grant Williams... here's the thing, Andrew. I would have paid him that.
Yeah, I think
he's at locker room poison, and I still kind of would have paid him that just because, like, he can cover the five, and right now, as we'll get into, we've got three centers that I'm worried could put together a combined 82 games in the year, when you would need them to triple that in terms of games played split amongst the three of them. I'm very nervous about injury, and you know, are we going to see games where Jason Tatum is playing the five? I don't know. I feel really thin in the depth department. We were talking about signing this like 6'10" kind of shooter out of Charlotte last week. I don't know if we actually did that, but that doesn't sound like a defensive big man to count on. I would have signed Grant. It's weird. I don't know.
That is weird because it doesn't feel like I understand your reasoning, but I also don't feel like it's a huge loss for us. Like, I don't think that it's necessary.
No, I don't either. I'm just, he covers my concerns with our current roster. That's all.
That's fair.
That's truly all it is. Like, still having him covers that. I gotta think, Tatum and Brown were like, yeah, we're good. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a hot take or whatever. I know they're like brothers, but again, just we've said this on the podcast 100 times. Just because someone's like your little brother doesn't mean you like being around them all the time. Typically, people don't like being around their little brother all the time,
right?
When it's that type of attitude and it's being mentioned in a maturity way, not in a you know, how close they are way.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, and I think you're right. I think that it's a similar, it's kind of what I was thinking too, is that, you know, whatever this team was great, you know, with what it was at the end of the year and the roster that we had, it was great. We absolutely could have won it all. But I just think that because we keep going back to that, we're almost a guarantee for the Eastern Conference Finals every year at this point. And arguably,
every year with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which I can't believe how much I'm going to have to defend Jaylen Brown in this podcast at some point. But yeah.
Well, I just mean it's clear that we need a shakeup somewhere. And obviously that came with Grant Williams going out, came in an even bigger way with Marcus Smart being traded too. So
yes. And I have, you know, if we recorded this right when that happened, you would have heard a very rare form of Tim Taylor, who was very, very disappointed and angry and thought it was an L for Brad. And but now I am beginning to grow on it. I still can't agree that a shakeup was needed. And my point in case is the team that just won the NBA Finals, who stuck to their guns for much longer than we have with this core, and won. So I don't know. I didn't love the shakeup originally, but like hypothetically, this team is unbelievable. It's just at $36 million this year, are we paying Kristaps Porzingis $1 million per game that he can stay on the floor? He's the most he's ever played in a season is 72 games. That was his rookie year. Last year, he had 66, I believe, which was a ton. There's one year with 17. There's a few years with 30s and 40s. The man cannot stay on the floor. He is built to break. He is 7'3" and a unicorn. I'm a huge Kristaps Porzingis fan, and I always have, and I've always rooted for him. I just wasn't prepared to, like, I just feel our success kind of hangs on him. Maybe we can win without him, but it feels like a really, really, really small roster to do that. talk about a lot of Blake Griffin minutes if we do re-sign him, which there's some rumblings about that today.
I hope they do.
Which I would do. I think that's a, you want to talk about locker room poison out the window. That's a locker room positive that needs to stay. I'm very, very concerned with the health of Robert Williams, with the health of Al Horford. And I know Al hasn't been injury plagued, but man, oh man, he's still aging and he's up there.
Yeah.
But I don't think.
And they're asking a lot of him.
Yeah. I don't think Robert has enough meniscus in his knee, and Kristaps just got paid. And we extended him too. We've extended it to 3 years at around this number. So, gotta win. Let's win all three of them, please. I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about depth in the big man. I think our bench is thinner now. So we'll see. Having Derek White and Malcolm Brogdon off the bench was a big thing. Just Malcolm's great, but what version of Malcolm are we getting? How injured is he? When the Kristaps trade involved him, I was more on board. So to see Marcus go and to hear that he had been guaranteed a couple days before that he wasn't going anywhere.
That I don't like.
It just all soured me a bit.
Yeah.
He took it in stride and it's fine. He still loves Boston and we still obviously very much love him. But yeah, I didn't love the way things transpired and I didn't love that deal versus the other one, but obviously the Clippers and were out on Malcolm Brogdon once they found out he was injured. They got enough injuries down at the Crypt.
How do you feel about Jason Tatum's comments the other day about load management? Did you hear that?
I missed that. No.
So he basically was like, he was very anti-load management, where he was saying, you know, people come out here to see me play and people travel to see me play and this and that. Like, he's not making it me. He's just saying, like, I am a player in this league that people want to see. So, like, when players come or when people travel with their family to come watch a game and they don't get to see that player because they're sitting out because of load management, he's saying, like, he doesn't approve of that.
Yeah.
Which,
I agree.
Not a lot of players speak out against it or for it or whatever, but.
Yeah. It's interesting to look at hockey and the NBA. Obviously, deeper rosters, obviously a pretty drastic difference in the amount of minutes that, like, top-tier players will get. Like, you know, you have NBA players flirting with, like, the entire game. And, like, I know there's some crazy, crazy NHLers that are on the ice for upwards of 30, can be on the ice for, like, 40 minutes, like two-thirds of the game. But I don't know. I think the season's too long, and now they just slapped a tournament in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I can't recall whether that will be part of the 82, but I don't think that it is. So, I think players got to play. I think load management is kind of crap. Like, if you get injured, you get injured, and you got to deal with that. But I do also think, as much as I want to watch 82 games and beyond and want to enjoy that, I do think that the quality of basketball is getting ruined by load management and actual injuries. So perhaps the season is too long, but the amount of guys in the NHL that are able to just play all 82 and it being like the more grueling, obviously, and physically demanding sport, it's incredible to me.
I mean, look, I'm not saying anything against the guys in the NBA that, I mean, you look at all these guys and they're like monsters. They're in perfect shape and all this and this and this, but it has to be something to do with conditioning, right? Like, it has to be what they're doing to be in shape. Is it more for physical, like how they look, or is it actually helping what they're doing? I mean, you see a lot of hockey players when they're working out and doing this stuff that they're working on. I don't know. What is Tom Brady? What's the whole thing? Pliability, like being able to be stretched and be able to, you know, take damage, because the same thing with football. I mean, those guys, there's a lot of injuries in football, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they get hit like crazy.
I think something that you're kind of highlighting, but we got to zero in on here, is that the NBA, like, football kind of has it, but hockey, like, your lower body is more getting injured from contact than just not, like, the amount of non-contact injuries and how most of the NBA's issues stem from legs and ankles and feet. is a direct, you know, result of the game. You know, you don't hear about like plantar fasciitis really from hockey. I'm sure it happens, but you don't like hear about a non-contact ACL, a non-contact Achilles. Like that just doesn't really happen the way that it constantly can happen in the NBA.
Yeah.
And with that, I don't think there's anything pliability wise that you can do. I think it's an overwork and it's a bad luck thing.
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't know. That's where the sports are different. Like NFL, that does happen sometimes. Like there is non-contact.
Of course.
Like I'll never forget when that dude on the, I think it was on the Ravens. It was the Ravens or the Steelers. And he did like an over celebration, like his usual, like jump out. Like it was kind of like Ray Lewis's move in a way. And he just snapped. He's like snapped his ACL and he was out for a year and a half.
Like, there's a lot of it's a lot of non-contact. I mean, I remember Edelman landed one time and just basically blew out his whole knee or whatever. You know, it's like it's unfortunate, and there's not.
But hockey, I don't think non-contact is a liability there.
Not usually, only for goalies.
Right.
That's basically it.
Yeah,
I mean it happens, of course, but not as often. Obviously.
Not nearly as. Yeah, the ratios, if you compare those, there, I really just think are drastically different. So, I think that's a big part of it. So, I agree with the idea that you should not. I don't think you should be sitting if you're healthy. I don't think you should be sitting to ensure your health. Like,
yeah, it's funny. I could see that happening more in hockey because of the hits and all that, and like. Everyone's got to be banged up at all times just from hitting, you know? So I could understand that more in hockey, and it's not a thing either. It's very, very rarely a thing. And if it is, it's for mostly veteran guys, I would think. But yeah, it's just, I thought it was interesting that he was actively kind of speaking out against it, because you don't really hear a lot of guys talking about it.
No, but as a fan, I love that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. But, yeah, there's just, it's something interesting. And like, again, just the number of NHL guys that go all 82 games. And I get that there's an argument that, you know, Jason Tatum playing 82 games is at 40 minutes is more than like the average NHL player with, you know, line changes and whatnot. But
completely still, different, you know,
still that, unbelievable. Yeah. Like your head can get taken off in 30 seconds on ice.
Yeah, we've seen it.
It's pretty remarkable that how many guys just do the whole season. It's great.
Well, speaking of ice, even because I kind of set you up for failure earlier. I thought, you know, I was giving you I was throwing up a softball there. You thought that you were going to hit out of the park with Bergeron because that's who you expected us to be talking about. But we got to talk about it, man. I
don't even know if my speech will be as good now, but let's go.
Well, okay. So Patrice Bergeron officially announces his retirement. I think that another conversation down the road, but I think we're going to be having this about Krejci here shortly as well. But let's talk about Bergeron. He's been here for so long, 20 years, like you said, and he's kind of given everything he has to the city, to the team. And you have to love and you have to respect a guy that spends his entire career in one spot, especially these days in sports where loyalty is not really a thing. It's more about money, and it's not necessarily always a loyalty standpoint from the player. You know, the teams decide that it's time to get their money's worth out of this player, and they trade him away. And it's very rare for you to see a player play their entire career in one spot anymore. I think that we'll
especially
see it
that
with,
long of a career. Yeah,
exactly. I think that we'll see it with Ovechkin. We'll see it with Crosby. But you're seeing the end of that.
Yeah, like look at Patrick Kane.
Exactly.
That's one you probably would have had penned in, and you know, obviously things went really awry there in Chicago, and Chicago's kind of doing him the favor of trying to get him somewhere where he can win again.
Yeah.
Towards the end of his career, which is, you know, a still a nice thing there. You know, that's still love between an organization and
sure.
player. And I think one of the nicer things you can do in sports as a whole. Especially for someone who's, you know, what he's already three-time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I do think it's a lost art. It's certainly pretty dead in the NBA. It feels like it'll be a miracle if we can keep Jalen or Jason for their entirety of their career. It just doesn't even feel realistic, even though it doesn't feel like they're going anywhere at this point. It's just, it's too long of a thing. I think, you know, you've heard forever. Giannis is saying, I'm not leaving. We heard Dame say it for quite a while. Dame has demanded a trade now. I think if the Bucks can't get their stuff together, there's a real possibility that they that Giannis demands something.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid came out this year and said something a little interesting about how I just want to win, whether it's Philly or anywhere else. So yeah, I think it's very dead and gone in the NBA. I think it's dying in the NHL, and I think we there's a high possibility we never see a Patrice Bergeron again. But ideally, they're still on the team, and it's Brad Marchand, and it's Pasternak, it's McAvoy. But yeah, it goes away. I don't know. It's we really got to soak in what we just had with him. And again, as you mentioned, everything he did on and off the ice. My dream now is just that he'll be a part of the organization somehow, but who knows what he wants to do. 20 years in Boston. I'm sure he wants to go home for a bit.
Yeah. I think he was asked about that, and he definitely didn't write it off, but he did say, I'm going to take some time to, he made a funny comment. I don't know if it was in his final press conference or if it was some other time, but he said, I'm going to take some time to be the family Uber driver for now.
Love that.
Basically, the guy who just had a career that is unmatched, like obviously there are players that are better, but he had a Hall of Fame career. He's done it all, and now he is just going to go home and lay low and, be a family Uber driver. It's a hilarious way to look at your responsibilities as a dad and as a husband and stuff when you go and stop your actual career.
Yeah. Good for him. I mean, he hasn't been able to really, how long is off season? He's probably had a few weeks here and there to do such a thing. He's going to love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really happy for him. I think you and I knew, I think we're both,
well, if it wasn't this off season, it was the next.
But I think we knew. I mean, just an unmistakable reaction between him and Brad Marchand. I just thought it was a lot. And I know they blew the perfect season, but I think they knew then and there that it was the end. And
yeah,
that's what I saw. And so I was hoping to get really surprised. But I, just heartbroken last week, but not caught off guard in the least.
Yeah, I mean, I was holding out hope because I really thought that who better to be the captain of this team for the 100 year.
I know. It just makes too much sense for him to not right now. And
yes, yeah. I understand his
reasons.
He's
got his own timeline. I take no disrespect from it, but it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I do hope that in some capacity down the road, he does become part of the team. I know that his family, his kids are here because of school and all of that. So it seems like there is a possibility that happens, but it's going to be a bit. I think that you'll see. I hope that him and Chara both do something down the road with this team. I know Chara's always around the city. He's running the marathon. He's doing all these charity things. Like, he loves being here. So I just hope that the two of them can find their way into the whether it's a coach or something else, the fabric of the team somehow, because I think that it goes a long way having, especially, guys who have won, guys who are very well respected. You got Chris Kelly on the coaching staff, and he knows how to win. So I think that things like that go a long way of just having guys around that have been around and that have the experience. You have McQuaid on the development side of everything too. They're bringing in these guys who have been here, again, who are respected, who have, they've achieved the ultimate goal in the NHL with the Bruins. It's like, these are the guys that you want kind of molding your younger group and showing them what it would look when Chara came in here and Bergeron was here as well. Obviously, the whole entire dynamic of the team changed. Yes, we got lucky because the Patriots and the Red Sox and everybody was winning at once, and it was kind of an easy thing for them to build this nice locker room and build this reputation around the league of being respected. And I think that you want that to continue with whoever ends up being the captain in the future, and that gets taught to these players by the veteran players who are still around the thing. Like, I know that a lot of guys have said they've learned a lot from Ray Bourque, and that's because he's always around. That's because he's always there to kind of give advice. And I think that obviously he still does some kind of stuff with the team from here from time to time. So I would love to see any of those guys be a part of it, because I think it's necessary. I think it's necessary to continue that culture that we've built for so long. And I think that that's not something that every team in the league has. You hear guys come in here and talk about the locker room and be like, I've never, ever played in a locker room like this before. The camaraderie and everything is so important to building a good team that I just hope that it can continue. And I hope that whoever is the next captain, you know, continues that. And I think that if it's Marchand, obviously he's going to do that. But if it's not, then, you know, some of these other guys who are potentially up for it could do the same. I mean, who do you think would be the next captain of this team, realistically?
I want it to be Brad Marchand. I don't know if that's the most realistic option. I hope it is. I think it commands a statement. I'd be into Lucic even just getting back, having an A. I don't know if that's aggressive, but I think it should be Brad Marchand. I think my money would be on Charlie McAvoy. Just establish a new era, young guy who's ideally here for a very long time and has already, you know, he's had the A on before and such. I want it to be Brad, tonally, and you know what we expect out of this team this year, which, you know, we've talked about it ourselves, but not on here. It's you know, it's scrappy. It's not, we're certainly never expecting the greatest season ever again, at least not this year, and probably fighting for a playoff spot is what this roster looks like. I think they brought in a lot of talent. I like the guys they did. But I don't really know what to make of them until we see them. And there's a chance that they're better than we think. And there's a chance that they're worse than we think. And right now, I think they're like Florida last year. And I don't necessarily mean that in the playoff run aspect. I mean, that is the 8th seed in the playoffs, who the Bruins lost to. We need to remember that.
I don't need to remember that. Remember it. All right. So my whole thing is like, yeah, would I be upset if Marchand was the captain? Absolutely not. But do I think that he's level-headed enough to be the captain? I don't know. I mean, Bergeron reeled him in a lot.
I thought you were going to follow that up with a second. Absolutely not.
No, I don't know, man. I mean, he's earned it. I will say that. Of all the guys that are on this team, nobody has put in more time or work or, you know, helping to build the team that we have. Nobody's done more than him. Who's left on this team I'm talking about, you know? So I think that he is obviously, it has to be a tough decision between him and, I would assume, McAvoy. You know, I know that we haven't said Pasta's name at all, but
I think Pasta's good for an A, but I don't think he's up for the C.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a combination of, either Marchand's the captain or McAvoy's the captain, and then the A's go to McAvoy and Pasta or Marchand and Pasta, you know? So I think that those are your guys right there. Like you had mentioned earlier, it'd be cool to see Lucic get it here and there, but I think that you give it to the core guys who have been here.
He doesn't know this team,
Yeah.
He doesn't actually know this team, really. Right. A couple guys, but... or actually, probably just a guy at this point, Marchand.
No, he played with Pasta. I mean,
he did play with Pasta, but that was, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that... That's it. I really, really want it to be Brad. I really do. I think in terms of discipline and wearing the C, sure, there's some expectation, but I see a lot of dirty captains out there in the NHL.
And
I'm not saying he'd be that even. It's just like, yeah, he's got his antics, but
maybe
sometimes
puts him
your
in
antics
check
are what you
more.
Want in the leadership role, you know?
You know
you
what's
want your
crazy
captain
to me?
Going out there and punching the guy in the face who just cheap shotted your you know Pasternak or whatever.
Yeah,
like I think that's crucial.
Just imagine this world, right? Marchand becomes the captain of the Bruins, which nobody would have ever thought that he'd be a captain in this league, just based on his reputation and whatever. So say that happens.
Yeah.
The Washington Capitals
35 though now, you know?
Like, yes. The Washington Capitals just re-signed Tom Wilson for like 7 years, 8 years. So that makes me think that he's going to be the next captain of the Capitals once Ovechkin is done within the next 3 or 4 years, however long that is.
I agree.
So imagine a world where Tom Wilson is the captain and Brad Marchand is the captain. Nobody ever saw this world coming. We're definitely living in a simulation.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's the direction I would love for hockey to go in.
It would be wild.
Yeah.
But we love Bergeron. We love him.
But also, Tom Wilson's a dirtbag. But I still love that.
I agree.
I don't want it. I got to make sure I get that in. I can't just be like, I'd love Tom Wilson.
No, I'm glad you.
Capitals. Like, oh, he's an animalistic dirtbag. but I'm in. God.
What else you got?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sad about Bergeron. Curious about this team. Excited for sports to start.
Yeah.
Very excited for sports to start.
But, I'm excited for the we got an early West Coast trip this year. I'm excited to get back out there and hang out and hit the games up and
we're ready for you.
Seeing if maybe we can make the trek up to San Jose if any of you guys are out there. We're gonna possibly do that.
I would think Jesse would be into it. He's always liked the Sharks like you.
Dude, I'm gonna do whatever I can to try to make it work this year, and hopefully we can figure that out. But if not, either way, I'm excited to come out for the two normal games that we always hit up, and it's just weird.
Yeah,
man.
And then
it's...
I think we should just talk about February because Vegas is a fun game.
You don't have to convince
Phoenix
me.
Phoenix is right around there too.
Yeah,
and I know you did Phoenix last year, but
no. We should absolutely do that. You should experience the Bruins playing in a 5,000 capacity arena, and maybe we'll see someone get their finger bit off again.
Jesus, I was gonna say I need to put that directly into my veins, but then you said the finger bit off part, and I don't want people to get confused.
Nah, man, it's super fun. I mean, it's on the college campus. It's a time for sure.
Pretty cool time to go to college there.
What? When? Oh, right now. Nah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the future of the Coyotes, but it doesn't look good for them.
Yeah, I don't care. I hope this. Let's consider this purgatory, and I hope they're stuck like a season of Lost, or maybe the whole damn series.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's weird though. It's like the West Coast trip is like the third game of the season, which is I don't know if it's ever happened before.
Not since we've been covering.
But I will also say, like, that's probably good for this team, right? Like, get that trip.
The Celtics were early last year, I think.
Really?
No, they were December. The year before, maybe? I don't know.
Either way, it's like, get the trip out of the way at the beginning and not have to do it at the very end of the season when you're kind of like, you know, gearing up for the playoffs and then making that long trip. I know that they probably, I'm probably making it sound more awful than it is. They fly private and stay in nice hotels and whatnot, but still, it's a long road trip.
Yeah. It's a lot, and then it's I think one of the more underrated things of professional athletes is that they do this thing all over the country in a week in, week out basis. It's just the flying alone just kills me, and these guys got back-to-backs, and
they do it like four times a week. Yeah,
and granted, again, they're in much more comfortable seats, especially for their size.
Yeah,
but I just it's so impressive. Road trips are very impressive, and I think when teams sweep them, it should be almost talked about more. And when they have winning records, you got to be very excited about that.
Yeah, so I'm excited. We don't have a lot of time until the season starts. I mean, we have a little bit of time, but it's going to be here before you know it. Both seasons, and looking forward to training camp, and you know, I'm even looking forward to preseason to see who is going to be. There's a lot of Bruins players who are fighting for a spot this year. There's some young guys that could make it. And then there's some other guys that they picked up over the offseason that are, I would say, like on the bubble of making the team or not on the lower, the bottom six. So I'm excited. Right. This is the first year where it's kind of like there's a lot of question marks going into the season in a good way. I mean, we have an abundance of players that can make the lineup, but then we have players that need to show what they're worth and prove like why they should be on a NHL roster.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. There's a little competition.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Good behind the beat preseason episodes for sure.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer they're going to do that.
I know. I'll take forever, but
yeah, right.
Feels like it's a little unrealistic, but maybe. It's going strong.
It's been going for a long time now. I think it's over 10 years.
It's wild.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have so much more to talk about over the next, you know, couple months here before the season starts. But I think, you know, next episode, next week, we'll get into the pickups and we'll get up to the additions and subtractions a little bit more, kind of give our thoughts on the players and what we think that the both teams are actually capable of doing this year. I mean, the Celtics are in a better spot than the Bruins are if we're talking about, you know, realistically winning a championship.
Sure. And Vegas odds and everything like that.
But
I think we are the favorites.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be awesome to talk about. But I think that there's, you know, there's a lot that could still happen for both sides. So I'm looking forward to what's going to happen over the next couple months here and see how things shake out.
Yeah, man. Speaking of Vegas, though, I just want to shout out Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, true. Yeah, shout out Bruce Cassidy. Shout out for Bruce Cassidy bringing the cup back here, too. And I don't think that and for people who are like, oh, he came here to show off. It's like, no, he didn't,
He
lived here for so long.
Yeah.
He has a charity here. Like,
so ingrained in just the New England Bruins hockey in general through Providence and Boston. It's just, you're a moron if you think that's what he was doing. Shut up.
You're also crazy if you
just
don't
think you're a moron
that.
If you think Jason or Jaylen Brown's contract is bad. But we can save that for next week.
Yes. No, but shout out Bruce Cassidy. If anyone was going to win, I'm glad that he got it. You know, if it wasn't going to be us because we were out, obviously, but good for
him. Yeah, I only wanted Florida to make the cup final to prove that they were the hard ones to get through. I didn't need them to win the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Hopefully we can get back there sooner rather than later. We have a lot of free, you know, we got a lot of free space next year and the cap's going up. So, you know, maybe we do a quick retool or I don't want to call it a rebuild. So we'll get into that later down the road, of course. But, you know,
I like the pickups. Some guys are old, but
yeah,
still got some gas.
Yep. But anyways, until next week, thank you guys for listening. We are back. We are going to be doing some episodes probably every week, if not every other week for now, until things kind of get a little bit busier. But we're back for sure. And happy to
we're
be back.
Baby.
Can't wait to do this whole season. And kind of we got some cool things potentially in the works. Hopefully we could share some of that stuff soon with you guys. And appreciate all you guys listening.
Let's go. We're back.
We
Bye,
are
Grant.
Back.
Bye, Grant. And truly, thank you, Patrice Bergeron.
Yes. Was it all in my head? Didn't see